The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. For the next hour, we're going to talk about real estate private partnership syndications, what they are, why you might want to invest in them, and more importantly, how do we assess the math of individual specific transactions. We usually start off with the question of when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life. We're planners versus reporters. We will do your reporting if you need someone to help with tax preparation, but most reporters simply focus on what happened last year. We know it's far more important to help you plan for the future, and in the case of most of our clients, it's the next 30 years or so, because the life expectancy that the IRS tables just were recently adjusted to has the average male living to 85, 86, the average female to 87, 88. And if you don't think that that matters, you may want to use your calculator to figure out whether you will outlive your money, which you hope, which you don't hope, or whether your money will outlive you, which would be the goal. And so it's definitely about the money more than it is the lifestyle, at least it is for my clients, as others try to say. And that, you know, it may be. I know that their definition of retirement is about $60,000 a year. I think I've heard it slip out on occasion, and that's a different league altogether than what my clients are interested in. And of course, there's a lot of things different with that particular platform. And we'll talk about some of that here shortly. Real estate tax planning strategies for investors is generally what MP Ross CPAs, it's what Be a Planner focuses on. The Be a Planner website has some information on your retirement funds accessibility, which is where most of our, us Americans' net worth is, where if you're behind on your retirement wealth accumulation or wealth accumulation in general, but you have retirement funds, you may want to take a look at the BeAPlanner.com site. That's BeAPlanner.com. And you'll see there the only three ways that you can access your retirement funds and use them to control your money, invest in real estate, and do whatever makes you happy at some point. It's probably not in the 2.5 to 5 years that I hear bannered about on other shows on this station. I will tell you that mathematically, that is not in the cards for you unless you've already got about $1 million that you can deploy after the tax hit, because you're going to be told that you should just rip the Band-Aid off, go pay those taxes, because you're going to make so much money over the next, apparently, 2.5 to 5 years that you'll retire. And I'm just telling you, I've got the math to prove it. You can see right there at the bottom of the BeAPlanner.com website an illustration on a $350,000 401 or IRA. And I know that that number is a very common number that we use in preparing these illustrations. And, yeah, we do some that show $2 million as well. But the large majority of the clients that have decided, or the prospects, have decided that they're ready to take control of their life and invest in these real estate syndications, which is a great tool to catch up and get further, far ahead of what you may need, depending on which transactions you select. You know that with retirement money, you'll figure out that you can do a lot more when you're not sending, as the example shows there, on $350,000, you're not sending $95,000 to the IRS. That's insanity. And as Red Adair, I'm fond of a quote that Red Adair said a few times, more than a few times during his life, which is, if you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And for all the good intent of the investor platform, which is an old school type platform, kind of like buying your tickets from a travel agent. You know, if you're still doing that, well, you'll like the several platforms that require you to pay, you know, $18,000 to $23,000, $25,000 membership fees to be part of a club. Might make you feel better. It's not going to really change the math on any of the syndications. It is going to change the math significantly on what you will be told you should do with your retirement funds. And I'm going to keep saying it, hopefully enough, to where when you hear that advice, you're going to ask, well, what else are you telling me that's not correct? Because you will already know firsthand you don't have to do that. And, in fact, that's with the numbers I mentioned earlier, $350,000 account using a 20% compounded rate of return, which I've heard, by the way, on the assorted radio shows of the platform I'm mentioning or speaking of, I've heard that between 10 and 30% is what their transactions, what their folks can generally achieve. And I don't dispute that. I've got many clients that are members of that platform. And again, if you've got the extra 20 grand sitting around, I would strongly encourage you to join that platform. There are reasons that we would like to have you be a member of that platform in terms of your steady stream of syndications that come through. Of course, there is a difference. Every syndication is different, and you'll still want someone like us that understands private placement memorandums, understands operating agreements, and has a little history with that organization to know who some of the better options are for you to invest with. And but, you know, again, if you've got the money to join, I think it's one of the best platforms across the country. They're in many cities, and we'll be happy to help you exploit that option. One thing that I wanted to mention, well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break. If you're interested in asking a question, you can call in here to the station, 281-558-5738, or you can text me at 713-581-0195. I've got both applications up. I'll be watching. So we'll be right back with the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross. And just occurs to me a couple of things. One, I think some folks may be tuning in today because I had indicated on yesterday's show or yesterday afternoon's show that we weren't sure, but we thought we were going to have Medina Sheikh on the show again. He's got a current syndication he's working on, but as they're getting closer to a closing date, he's up to his eyeballs in alligators, as the expression must be, or the expression I used to use, usually around tax deadlines. But in any event, we are going to have his associate, Natalie Pilkington, on the show today. It'll be here in a bit, last two segments. So if you have questions you'd like either for me to ask, you know, shoot me a text if you want me to ask them, 713-581-0195, or feel free to call and we'll put you on when Natalie and I are both on the phone. One other thing, I wanted to circle back. I think it was on the Syndication Mass Show last week. It may have been on the Tax Mass Show, but I apparently said something that I had a lot of empathy and sympathetic messages after the show, where I was talking about an argument that I lost, as I do most arguments, with my better half, who's a Thai national. I was going to say a Thai native. I guess it's the same. But in any event, we were talking about how we, at our homes here in Thailand, we typically don't have hot water at the sink in the kitchen. And I guess I didn't differentiate that, oh, yes, we have hot water in the showers. I don't mean to make it sound like we're roughing it. We got hot water. We got internet. We got all the other accoutrements of life. It's just, you know, it's interesting. Once you get outside the U.S., you realize all the things that we obsess on, and I guess hot water being required to clean dishes is something that I know when I grew up, I just assumed that was the case. But actually, it's not. There's a little thing called antibacterial soap that apparently works equally well because nobody dies. And so, or at least that I've known about here, you know, and I've never gotten sick. The only thing I've ever gotten sick from in Thailand here was the ketchup at McDonald's, not the takeaway variety, but the in the plastic container there in the store. But and not that there's anything wrong with McDonald's for all you double cheeseburger fans, but in any event, it's just as bad here as it is in America, is my explanation, as is Taco Bell, as is Subway, as is Burger King. It's just every once in a while you got to eat one just to remind yourself this is why we don't do this often. And it is a little slice of Americana. Oh, and I left KFC off the list, and I left Texas Chicken off the list, which I'm assuming doesn't even exist in America, but it's like a KFC here. But in any event, so it's not, I'm not living a destitute life. We're well taken care of here, have everything we have in America that counts, except two things. We don't have Western Chinese, and we don't have Papacitos, but I've got the latter solved. The best thing I think I've told many clients at Papacitos is the chili con queso, and you can go out to copycat.com or copycatrecipes.com. That's got a K on the cat, and there is a recipe for that queso that is the spitting image of their queso. And so, you know, my wife and I, we can make our own tacos, and so having that chili con queso is just you know, it's hard to believe, but I've actually scratched Tex-Mex off my list in terms of getting back to the U.S. sooner rather than later. But in any event, I digress, but I wanted to make sure everybody understood I'm in good shape here. Don't send me any more emails about living in a backwards country. In any event, I wanted to go back to, we were talking about one of the other platforms in Houston. Good platform for a lot of reasons, even though there's some amateur tax advice that takes place on a regular basis. I'm going to suggest to you that if you'll listen to professional for your tax advice, although not many professional tax advisors understand the 401 trust option, which is, I couldn't have written the rules any better myself for investing in real estate private partnership syndications. But bottom line is, you know, join a real estate mentor group for the real estate advice that you can get, and come see us or go see your own professional for the tax advice. And for those that would want to possibly work with us on tax strategies, on understanding the syndication math involved in any of the investments that you might happen on to after you get active in these investments, you can go to the beaplanner.com website. Again, BEAPLANNER.com, and at the top right you'll see our intake form link, and you can go fill those forms out, and once you've done that, go back to the home page and you can schedule a call. You'll see a call schedule link, and we'll be happy, complimentary, to assess your information. We'll actually bother to ask you how much retirement funds you have, if you have any. We'll also bother to ask you, how do you define retirement? And I'm willing to bet you there's not many, in fact, I'll just tell you, there's not many form submissions I get where the answer is $60,000 after tax. That's, in fact, I think I may have seen that once, and fortunately, the individual that submitted it had other sources, other buckets of income that would make up the difference between what they needed beyond the 401 involved. Another thing, speaking of other platforms, there was still there was some other news this week that I found interesting, and again, it's the leading platform I think in the country, based here in Houston, and there was an announcement on the radio that they had created a brand new position within their investor groups. They've got a couple, so this would have been in the highest level, you know, $20,000 type membership fee. And they announced a new first time, very, very first time, position called the passive mentor position. And they've got what sounds like to be a very qualified individual who's invested in over 95 passive partnerships. That's incredible. That may be the record for anyone I'm aware of. I've seen others that have 40 to 50, and I'm impressed by that. So I'm really impressed by 95. So purely from a qualification standpoint, this individual is no doubt well qualified. And I believe the party involved had also done an IRO or an independent owned property like I've done. I've done both IRO and I've done syndicated investments. And by the way, for us old people, I'll be 62 here in less than 2 months. I'm going to suggest the passive route. Or if you're using retirement money, I'm going to suggest the passive route. So this is a relevant piece of news generally. Unfortunately, now I never worked for Farmers Insurance Company, but as they say, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. And I know that advocating for the passive investor was tried many years ago, about 13 years to be exact, maybe less. I believe it was back in 2009, 2010, where there was a let's just call it a group of passive investors within this investor platform, 200 plus members, started up in 2009. And as I'm going to predict for the current passive position, it faded away, was gone by 2011. And even though the organization claimed to support it from the outset, according to the founders, they were pressured to not report any negative results or feedback, and that they should limit discussion about such items. And then there were requirements that, you know, the platform management receive advance notices, of whatever was being sent out or put in front of the members. So that cut down on the transparency. And eventually, it was kind of like what you're seeing in today's media. It was kind of like cancel culture way back then. And so I'm rooting for the passive mentor. I'm hoping it sticks. I'm hoping that the individual involved who's taking on a yeoman's effort is not going to become disenchanted when, you know, there's issues that are pointed out. I know, because I've got a lot of clients that are members of this platform that speak their mind when it comes to lack of communication, lack of assistance when they need help, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to suggest, just as a cautionary item, that regardless of what platform you're going to invest in, I don't care. I mean, I could go down a list of 15 or 20 platforms from the major leagues, like CrowdStreet.com. CrowdStreet only offers investment transactions under the 506C rules, which, if y'all have listened to me past few weeks, the 506C transaction only allows accredited investors. Non-accrediteds are not able to invest, and so it's a different level. But it's definitely the major leagues, apartments, industrial properties, office properties, healthcare facilities, hotels, retail, you know, top shelf, you know, development companies and management groups. And, you know, I don't at all diminish the role of the local platforms that I've been discussing. Again, there's several of them, but it's a little bit more of a mom and pop environment, which mom and pop can do some pretty good stuff. And I'll tell you, a single or a double in a mom and pop may be the grand slam in one of the top shelf folks. You know, overhead's higher. Of course, the asset quality is generally higher, and you know, there's trade-offs, and that's what we look at. We analyze those factors for our clients. But in any event, I'm again hopeful that this position is helpful, because it's very frustrating after you've paid your money if you don't get the assistance that you need to understand. And you know, a lot of people can't just watch a video and magically have some very high level information you know, in their head, in their memory. And so, and then of course, the platform itself is never going to give you any training on how to separate, if you got five transactions you're looking at, which one you should actually invest in. I'll be very curious to see if the mentor, the new passive mentor, is willing to do that. You folks that are members should ask when you're looking at three or four transactions. Right now, if you went, if you were a member and you went on the portal that they track investments with, you would have access to, I don't know, there's probably a dozen deals right now that are out there. Well, if you're investing in three of them, which three are you going to pick? Is it going to be based on the touchy-feely email that goes out telling you what a wonderful project this is coming up? They're all wonderful. Okay, there's nothing that's not wonderful that goes out for capital. So, you know, you've got to have a way to separate the wheat from the chaff, I suppose. And again, I will tell you firsthand how to do that. I have no dog in the hunt, but I can promise you, when you're selling memberships, you got dogs in the hunt, and you got to be real careful that you don't cannibalize another part of the program. Anyway, we're going to take a break. I'll tell you what, before we do that, let me bring Natalie on. Natalie, are you out there?
Looks like I am. I'm here. How are you?
great. I'm here, and I didn't mean for you to be calling in right when I was railing on one of the leading investor platforms in Houston and across the country. But I know, you know firsthand, because you used to work there, that what I'm saying is more than just a small element of truth. And in any event, I'm, again, hopeful that it sticks. But anyway, so Natalie Pilkington is working with McCann or McCann. How do we say that, Natalie? I want to get it right.
McCann.
McCann Investments. And you may recall two or three weeks ago we had Medina Sheikh on. He's the owner of McCann. And we were going to have him on today, but he's got alligators nipping at his butt, as I mentioned earlier, on a current transaction. So he asked if Natalie could attend, and he'll try to make it on next week or the week after. Trust me, as you get closer and closer to closing on these transactions, you're worried about appraisals, environmentals, insurance, getting the right investor mix in place. I understand what he's going against. Anyway, I've known Natalie since, I guess it's about 2005, so we've done a lot of coordinating together. She was in charge of the vendor program at the aforementioned Houston investor platform, and I was the first vendor in that program, and I'm probably one of the few that predated her arrival. But again, I am a little bit too independent, and finally reached a point where it made sense to move on. And I just want to be very clear, and Natalie, I think you recall this, that Nathan Ross made the phone call to extract myself from that vendor program, and it wasn't the other way around, as it's been depicted at times. But that's okay. That's another form of cancel culture, and it started a long time ago with that group. And if you don't believe me, read the back, as I was starting to say earlier. I don't care which platform you join. Read the back of the documents, the fine print, and make sure you understand that you can be canceled at any point in time for nothing more than the desire of management to do so. And I'm not saying that they just routinely go pick somebody out of the crowd and cancel them, but boy, do they do it for some pretty innocuous reasons. And I know firsthand, because I've got clients that have been canceled, and I would argue that mediation or arbitration would be a wiser option. But any event, so Natalie, let's take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
I am a seeker, and you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down.
I guess Dolly, okay, now we're coming back. Sorry about that. Natalie, I'm not sure exactly what all you want to cover today. I'm going to kind of leave it up to you, but I was going to ask you a few questions, and I don't know, maybe if you'd want me to kind of lay the table here, I could do that. Or if you've got something that you want to throw out right away, we can go that route too. What do you think?
Well, let's start with your questions, go from there, and then we can kind of go over what I've seen as far as syndicators in my years of experience.
Excellent. One of the things that is hot to trot on my list, and I'm not going to get into the fee issue. I think you know how I analyze the fees, and I also try to always remember to say fees on their own are not a reason you do or you don't move forward with a specific syndication. There's a lot of ways to structure fees so that they're earned as opposed to simply being day zero type fees. I'm not going to get into fees. Been over that. We'll go over it many more times in the future. My next hurdle, and you know, I'm not sure to what extent you would be able to comment, Natalie, but the reporting, transparent reporting, is something that I hear almost every syndicator refer to, and then the reporting is anything but transparent. And I've got a list, and I can send this to you if you want, but I would suggest to you that transparent reporting involves more than simply getting a quarterly report and or a K-1. And unfortunately, most syndicators, and I don't care which platform it is or if it's direct, most syndicators seem to think that it's simply matter of giving someone, you know, rent rolls and, you know, financial statements and a K-1. And I've never understood, you know, if you're an owner in a business, why you would not insist. And of course, most of my clients don't even think about it until I bring it up. And of course, I'll tell you here in a minute why I bring it up. But in any event, you know, the K-1 is simply your numbers that go on a tax return. Doesn't tell you much of anything about your other partners. And I'm just curious, you know, when you invest at the front end, you read the private placement memorandum or you listen to Nathan Ross explain it to you. You read the operating agreement. And then for some reason, it's expected that we never want to go back and look and see how well the syndicator comported to what they said they were going to do. Nobody checks that stuff. And I'm not saying there's anything nefarious, but I'm going to ask you, God forbid, when's the last time your accountant made a mistake? I make mistakes all the time, okay? And
all
so I'm not, I'm not suggesting there's anything nefarious going on, but I would like to know if there was a calculation involving excess cash. I'd like to know, I'd like to see the work paper. Hopefully somebody did a work paper, otherwise how would they know, right? And so, you know, I start, you know, on the financial side. You know, if you're doing a syndication, and many syndications are doing this, where there would be affiliates, and it'll be disclosed right there in the PPM, right there in the operating agreement, that in our sole discretion, we're going to pay people that may be affiliated with us. And in some cases, they actually say they are. And again, if you're paying an in-house property management company or an in-house construction firm to do rehab, I want to see the financials and the tax returns at that level. I want to see that they got paid what we said we were going to pay them. And the only reason, again, I'm going to use the farmer insurance expression, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two, and I'm going to tell you that I saw back in the day, I'm not mentioning names, I saw a syndicator that had a massive acquisition that required massive dollars, used his in-house renovation crews, and at the end of the day had $1 million sitting on the bottom line as net income when they sent us the data, do the return. And I called because I was wanting to make sure that we weren't going to pay tax on said income, because surely he was going to return that to the partners, to the partnership. And I was told, well, no, why would I? I was able to do it for less than we thought it would take. And I said, well, who's we? that thought it would take that. He goes, well, that was me and my team. I said, so what you're telling me is you overstated the cost, and when you actually went and did it, for whatever reason, it cost less. And I'm just telling you, that's the last time I did work with that client. I that kind of stuff just chaps me to think that people think like that. So I'm going to tell you, don't ever assume anything in terms of your, you know, your syndicator and syndication team, unless you've got, you know, it's like Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify, I believe. There's a lot of trust. Trust me, there's a lot of trust here. And so, you know, that's just the start point. And so, you know, without having the full tax return where I can see, you know, if I'm a 0.008 partner, I want to see other 0.008 partners, that's ownership interest, sharing interest, that have the same numbers I do. And if there's somebody that's got a 1.6, I want to see those numbers are twice as much. If it's a syndicator that said they were taking certain fees, asset management, property management, refinance, whatever it is, I want to see those in the financials and the tax return. Okay, and so now I guess what I'm trying to get across to you is there's a whole raft. If you want to make if you want to do an investor friendly partnership, I would tell you that over delivering on the reporting is a cheap form of communication, and I don't mean cheap as in not desirable. I mean, you've already done the work. I'm not suggesting you need to go produce any special reports. I'm suggesting you simply use the reports that have already been prepared for those organizations, and you've already done a tax return, a full tax return. And before someone says, well, gee, Nathan, it's got everybody's social security numbers and that kind of thing, let me tell you something. There hadn't been a partnership tax software produced in the last, 10 to 15 years that does not have a single checkbox to redact sensitive information. Everybody has that issue. I don't care if you're a 5 or 6 person partnership or if you're 105 or 106. Nobody wants to be emailing about or uploading and downloading from portals private information. So that's the first thing, and there's others, but I would suggest that, the real crux is transparency and allowing someone to understand the totality. So I know you saw a lot of this at your reporting issues at your former employer, and I know I've seen an email that was circulated a while back from a guy that's a member in that organization. He's invested in 42 deals, and so he's got the lay of the land, and the biggest issue for him that he said is just it's horrible is the lack of reporting that goes out on to the passives on these transactions. And I know there's people that do put out the full tax return. I've seen it, and in fact, it's people, there's a couple of examples I could give you where they've been canceled. They were syndicators. And it's interesting when you know some history, know some background, how much clearer things are in the light of day that, someone else may not, a member probably doesn't have the perspective. All they see is the current story. That party is no longer around to defend themselves. And, things are being said that are just, not true. But in any event, so, Natalie, I don't know Medina well enough, but I certainly would welcome that discussion. I think that if you guys are still trying to raise capital on this deal, and I promise I'm going to let you talk here in a minute, that would be something to sweeten the pot for some people that may be standing on the sidelines, because frankly, there's so many transactions out there right now that it's very easy to compare what you might get with one versus others. They're all targeting the same equity multiples. They're all targeting the same IRR, and they all are counting on market cooperation. I'm getting so tired of hearing that word. I understand it. Every deal out there is counting on market cooperation. Trust me, when you're doing three-year bridge debt with 2 1-year extensions, you're counting on market cooperation, whether you realize it or not, and we're getting ready to see the rates start ticking up, which means cap rates are also going to tick up, which means it takes more NOI to get more debt, and you better have a story to tell, something
so
unique.
Let me answer because I know you'll
sure.
talk the whole show, and I won't get to say.
I know,
words,
so. And we do need to take a break. But you go ahead with an answer, and then we'll break, and I promise you got the floor.
No, I agree with you, and there is no question that is too hard or too dumb when it comes to your investment. That's the one thing that I always tell everybody as running the investor relations team for McConn Investment Group. It is that there. Questions are good, and if your syndicator can't answer that, if your operator can't give you the information that you need, then you probably need to find a new syndicator or operator if they're not willing to be that transparent with you and give you just basic information over the phone based on your questions. Now, once you get in, a lot of the you can't get in until you see it. Like, you've got to – I almost sound like Nancy Pelosi, and that's not good, but you almost have to – invest $50,000 or $100,000 to get into the deal to actually truly see if they're going to deliver on what they say.
Well, that's no longer the case. Trust me, we're making headways on that front. But I'm going to tell you, I just had an email from a client a couple weeks ago that's in a syndicator that's part of a group I know you know of up in Dallas. Used to be one of the Lifestyles mentors and actually also a lead. But in any event, after 3 years, the syndicator running the partnership was able to return their money. Just return their money. No distributions in 3 years, little communication. And so I've seen what happens. I mean, from a good and a bad. I've got other clients that are in deals on across multiple platforms, some the big boys and some direct. Lane Bean is doing a transaction over in Lockhart, Class A set of buildings. Fees are very moderate. It looks like an incredible, $182,000 average cost per door for a true Class A. Two-year-old units on the ground already, 96 or 98% occupied on acquisition. He's got 6 acres there that he's already got tentative permitting on to build another 132, so it'd be a total of 270 some odd units. And when you look at the reporting, Lane Bean sends out a set of financials along with the general ledger, along with the bank statements. I've never seen bank statements provided without beating a syndicator over the head as if they have some right to withhold that information. Now, he hasn't done it yet with respect to the in-house management team and entity. We'll make some headway on that, I'm quite sure, because he's a transparent, open guy. And he was a member, by the way, the group that you and I were involved with. He never syndicated there, but I've heard his name dropped on the radio a few times lately during the week, not on the weekend, if that helps for perspective. And so I'm sure others are aware of his success. And in any event, but let's take a break. We're going to have to hurry in that last segment. And I want to point one thing out on the 506C nature of this transaction. Anyway, we'll be right back with the BIA Planner Show, Nathan Ross, CPA, and our guest, Natalie Pilkington.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BIAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BIAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the BIA Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and our guest, Natalie Pilkington. Natalie, I'm assuming that you guys are still in the capital raise mode. I think one of my clients mentioned on the portal it looked like that. Is that the case?
Yes, we are always in capital okay. raise mode, but yes.
Okay. Well, now that's not necessarily a good answer, but anyway, if it's a 506C transaction, I suppose.
No, it is. Yes, we are.
Okay, as this one is. So if anybody's listening to this today and you're interested, and you're accredited, I got to underscore that, you are able to connect with Natalie, and I'll have her give you her email address here shortly, but to get more information about the transaction. Now, if you're non-accredited, unfortunately, you're late to the party. Well, if you're non-accredited, you wouldn't be able to join anyway, but let's assume it was a 506B transaction. There is the need to have a pre-existing relationship, and I would suggest that if you like what you're hearing here in terms of this particular asset space, and here's a local syndicator, and I say local, he's done transactions across the country, he's based locally, you want to go sign up on the McCann portal so that you start creating that relationship. So it's pre-existing by the time the next deal comes along, and assuming it's a 506B transaction, then you'll be able to participate. Now, if you're accredited, the same rules will apply for you as the non-accredited if the offering is under 506B. So you want to go sign up as well, although you could also potentially, if you found it to your liking, invest in the current transaction. And Natalie, I don't know if you understand, if that's your understanding of the rules, but I'm going to quote somebody in your past, Gene Trowbridge. That's right out of his book that, you know, you can go get on Kindle, and it's a little bit dated. There's been a no response or no action letter, I'm sorry, the SEC, right after Trowbridge's book was went to press in 2015. The SEC had a ruling involving 506B transactions and the pre-existing relationship, which I'm amazed how many syndicators don't understand that rule. And I'll give kudos to Natalie and Medina. They sure do, because I've heard them talk about it. And I'm going to tell you, it's serious business if the syndicator doesn't understand and inadvertently stubs their toe by allowing a non-accredited to participate when they should not have. But in any event, Natalie, go ahead and give your email address if anybody, or website or whatever you want to provide. And if any of you don't get this, you can connect with me. I'll pass it on as well. But go ahead, Natalie.
It's McCann, M-A-K-A-A-N, investmentgroup.com.
Okay, that sounds easy enough. And again, I've forgotten, when are you seeking to close? It's somewhat.
We're closing on the 15th.
Okay. Wow. Tuesday.
Yeah, we're having. But we're as the operator's doing, he's double checking everything, double checking the numbers, making sure everything is working, so he can deliver what he promises. So that's where we're at.
Well. It's very common these days to see transactions delayed. It's either a lender, it's a seller. You know, there's a number of reasons. I've seen more than a few as of late. And so let's hope that y'all get down the road here. That would be a nice local project that probably put together some tours of for future deals if they want to go look and see how this one was operated.
Absolutely. But,
anyway, we've just got a few minutes left, Natalie. I'm curious if there's any special stories you might offer from your investor relations perch on this transaction where you might have had idea pop into your head for the first time just based on somebody asking you something. I mean, is there anything unique you want to share with us here as to how you might help somebody?
Well, I think the good thing about Medina Sheikh, the owner of Macan, is he's very transparent. He'll meet with anybody, talk with anybody, and he's really in the details as far as he's a bigger picture thinker, but he's in the details. So when people ask questions, like whether you're just starting out or you're an experienced investor, we want to develop a relationship with you. And we're training people in the sense of just answering questions. What does it mean to be an operator, or not an operator, a passive investor? What does it mean to get a K-1? What does it mean on the cost segregation loss? What does it mean? Like, how can I take advantage of that? And we always say consult your professional like Nathan Ross. But it's important to get basic information out of the way and have that. But also the advanced questions. Like, we just kind of really invite everybody. And I think that the questions that you pose are very solid, because there are syndicators that go under. Even on the raise, where I heard a gentleman lost all his money in San Diego because he put it in a deal. And the investor took that initial investment and put it into something else. And it ended up being this huge lawsuit. So there's a lot of concern and a lot of things going on out there that you really don't be afraid to advocate for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, that's a great point, Natalie, because there are a lot of funds, that's F-U-N-D-S, that are out there these days. Even at the, quote, mom-and-pop level, it's scary. I would avoid funds like the plague where you don't know the specific asset. If you're investing retirement funds especially, you should do that, because you could end up creating a fiduciary relationship if it's not an operating company that your money is going into, where you know, if the syndicator or the fund operator takes over 25% IRA or 401 capital, you've got a prohibited transaction, and I don't want to go into the details now, but it's a problem. By the way, investing with your retirement funds that are pre-tax with the anticipation of converting to a Roth while they're in the investment, you don't have to pull the money out. When you value the investment for purposes of calculating your Roth conversion tax, you may be surprised to learn, of course, you may be surprised on multiple fronts, that $100,000 you just invested, and Natalie, I want you to understand this because you're right there on the front line. If I invest $100,000 that was sitting in a Schwab money market, it's worth $100,000 sitting in the Schwab money market. I'm going to pay tax on $100,000 more income if I convert to Roth, okay? If I do it after I've invested in a transaction like a Providence at Champions, you're going to have discounts to value, fair market value, of about 60 to 70%. Think about that. Paying tax on $30,000 to $40,000 instead of $100,000. We'll talk about that next week. We've talked about it before. But anyway, we're at the end of the show. Thank you, Natalie, for coming on, and I look forward to the next time. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.